God bless you all this morning. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and just have a word of prayer. Open up the service here. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for just another opportunity to come into your house, Lord, and just worship you, Father, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, it's the only way that we can do that, Father. And I just pray that this service could give you glory and honor. I pray over this Sunday school topic, Lord. I pray you could anoint it, Father. I pray over the main service, Lord God. May you just come down in a mighty way, Lord God. Our hearts and minds are just, Lord, directed towards you this morning. We commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn into our Bibles, into the book of Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians and 1 Timothy this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to catch three verses, 11, 12, and 13. And it says, "Not that I speak of in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Amen. And then let's turn into our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And then we're going to catch verses 6 through 8. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." God bless you as you take your seats this morning. My topic this morning is discontentment. And then a little subtitle I have is Victims of Materialism. We're going to get into a few quotes this morning from the Church Age book. Brother Branham deals with the effects that the spirit of the last day has on the world and the influence that it can have on us as believers. Amen. We're a part of this world. We live in this world. You know, the Bible says that we're, you know, here, and, you know, sometimes we have to be a part of the influence of the world, and sometimes being a part of the world, you know, we're supposed to be separate, but we're still under the influence of the age that we're living in. And he uses this phrase that grabbed my attention when I was studying for this. Brother Branham says, he says that man is a victim of materialism. And he says, so the definition of materialism is a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. So, you know, we live in a society, at least, you know, in here in America, where material possessions can be seen as a source of happiness. And, you know, even as believers, I believe we can fall victim to the effects of that spirit if we're not careful. The second chapter of the Church Age book, you know, in the Patmos Vision, Brother Branham deals with the importance of being in the Spirit. And he quotes out of the book of Revelation where John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet, Revelation 1, verse 20. And Brother Branham says on that, if there's anything good that will come to me, it has to be revealed by the Spirit, confirmed by the Word, and made manifest by the results it bears. Amen. So some of the most incredible revelations are written in that final book of the Bible by someone who was what? He was in the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to focus on this morning is what the devil does is he tries to keep believers out of the Spirit. Yeah. Amen. And I believe a big portion of it is associated with this topic this morning, the spirit of materialism. And I want to go through some quotes and make some comments here on the Church Age book as we go. Brother Branham says in the Smyrnian Church Age, he says, "Here is what you have to believe again in the love and the goodness and the wisdom of God." He says, "This too is needful. Remember, he admonished the scripture, take no thought for the morrow, what ye shall eat or what ye shall put on. Your Father knoweth the things ye have need of. He who clothes the lily and feeds the sparrow shall do much more for you. And he says, these physical things are not the true basic necessities of your life. For a man's life consisteth not of the things he possesses, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the material possessions, Brother Branham says, will be added unto you. The people of God, he says, are not materially minded. They are Christ-minded. I want to be Christ-minded this morning. They do not seek the treasures that are below. They seek those above. So he says, a man's life consisteth not of the things he possesses. And I love how he put that. The people of God were not supposed to be materially minded. They're supposed to be Christ-minded. And that's what it takes to overcome a spirit of discontentment, to be Christ-minded. And that is... I had a thought, this was several months ago, and about something in our Christian walk, and our Christian walk is an active process. Yeah. To be Christ-minded is an active process that we have to take part in. It's not you just go to church and you read your Bible. Those are part of that active process, but you have to pursue God. You have to pursue these things in the Word. You have to pursue being Christ-minded. Otherwise, the influence of this day will overtake you. Amen? We have to allow Christ to be at the center of every thought, in every motive, and in every objective in our life. So contentment this morning is part of our main subject, is the state, a definition, is the state of being satisfied and not desiring more than what we already have. I want to read that again. It is a state of being satisfied and not desiring more than what we already have. Such a vital part of our Christian walk can lay in such a simple comment of what Paul said, content in whatever state that I am in. Because I believe that we all can fall into this pattern of desiring more materially, desiring these things. But God says, and through Paul in here, he says, you have to learn to be content. Learning is an active process that we're constantly striving for. Amen. I read this devotional the other day. I shared it with a few brothers, and I thought it was worth sharing today. From this excerpt, it says, in the newspaper, I read about a prominent builder of upscale homes who said that one of his keys to success is always having a fabulously decorated model home to show his customers. He says that he wants them to walk away feeling terribly dissatisfied with what they already have. Those feelings of dissatisfaction come straight from the enemy, he says. When Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and I thought this was an incredible point, when he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he did not remind her of all the wonderful things God provided. He didn't remind her that he would come down in the cool of the evening. He didn't remind her that everything she had need of was right there. He brought up the one thing. He had her focus on the one restriction in her life. And that is what Satan does in our lives. He'll get us to focus on the one thing that you don't have, materially speaking. He'll get us to focus on everything except being Christ-minded. And the typical behavior, this is typical behavior of Satan's behavior, he says in this devotion. He focuses on the things that we don't have instead of reminding us of all God has given us to enjoy. And I believe there's just such a simple lesson in that there's always something that appears nicer than what you have. It doesn't matter what you have. There is always going to be something that either is nicer or that appears nicer. And our eyes, because of the society that we live in, can be drawn to those things. Amen. And if you've got the latest and the greatest right now, just wait a few months or wait a year. There's going to be something greater. If you've got the latest technology, I'm in the hearing care industry, and every year there comes out with this groundbreaking technology where you're gonna hear better than you've ever heard, and there's new angles to this, and there's this greater, and a lot of times it is greater, but you just wait a few more months, and then it's going to be something greater. That's the age that we're living in. that devotion was speaking of Eve and how the serpent came to her. And of course, in your life, the enemy is always going to try to keep you focusing on what you may not have, or something that somebody else has, or all of these material things. And I think what he often does, because he knows he can't get us the way that he got Eve, he can't get us to disbelieve God's word, he'll tempt us with desires of the flesh that will completely distract us from being Christ-minded and living in the place that we're supposed to be living in. Amen. We're supposed to be living in victorious lives. We're supposed to be striving. But if you're focused on something that is material, if you're focused on these worldly possessions, then you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two at the same time. You know, cars and houses and clothes and money and this and that. I'm not speaking against those things. You know, we live in the world. You know, we have to have those things. And material possessions, they're a blessing from the Lord. Amen? And I believe we ought to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us. And I'm not even saying, you know, that every desire that you have for nicer things is altogether wrong. But where does it fall on your priority list? Amen? I want to say that again. Where does it fall on your priority list? Amen. Is it causing you to always strive for something bigger and something better and the next nicest thing and the nicest, the newest, you know, the desire you have? Is it causing you to be dissatisfied with what God has blessed you with right now? I know that's something real simple, but, you know, one of the biggest downfalls that can happen when you fall into this lack of contentment in your life by always striving for that next thing, the nice car, the better paying position, or this and that, is that you're missing out on one of the biggest blessings that God can give us, and that is just simply enjoying the present. Enjoying the moment that God has given. That's why he says, he Brother Branham picks that in the Church Age book, he picks that quote up, take no thought for the morrow. God knows, God knew he created everything, right? So he knew that we were gonna have this inundation of all of this stuff. So he says, don't think about that. I'm gonna take care of that. I am your provider. I am Jehovah Jireh. Think about the here and now. I've blessed you with a family. I've blessed you with a job. I've blessed you with these things. Be thankful in the moment that you have right now. And a lack of contentment will take away those things. It'll take away your ability to just live a satisfied life in Christ. I want to live a satisfied life in Christ. I want to be content in everything that he's given me. And I know we all fall, I've fallen victim to this. We all fall victim to this because Brother Branham says that man is victim to a spirit of materialism and we can be influenced by that. But what are we going to do with it? Amen. What are we, when the Lord discerns that in our hearts, what are you going to do with it? Amen. He said, you can have a desire for something nicer, but check whether or not is causing you dissatisfaction what you currently have. A few Sunday schools ago, I did a little series on perspective and angles, and we talked on a few lessons, and I believe if we start to fall into a trap of being dissatisfied with what we have, or, you know, always thinking of your wants and even your needs, some of the simple stuff that we have to do, just take a moment and start listing out the things that God has given you. Start being thankful for what he has. Just start making a list, because the list can go on and on and on and on. Amen. And I believe that if you just start thanking him for what you do have, you can gain a renewed perspective. Amen. A new perspective on what it is that you're going through, what he's blessed you with. Amen. All these things. Just some scriptures to go with that this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Psalms 95:2. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Brother Branham says further on in the same quote in that Church Age book, he says, it is absolutely true the majority of Christians are not wealthy. Rather, they are on the poor side. It was so in Jesus' day, it was true in Paul's day, and it should be true today. Oh, it is not too true today, for the Laodicean age is one of vast wealth, where often the criteria of spirituality is an abundance of earthly goods. My, how rich the church is in goods, but how poor in spirit. Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is not material. It is within us. A rich man is rich in God, not in worldly things. Amen. And he says a little bit further down, he says, now this is nothing against rich people, because God can save a rich man. Some of God's children are rich. But money can be such a snare. And I wanted to focus on this point that he makes, because it's important. He says, money can be such a snare, not only to those who have it, but also to those who don't have it. I want to say that again. It can be a snare, whether you have money or you don't have money, because even if you don't, you can find yourself always thinking about it, thinking about wanting it, thinking about wanting that nice thing, thinking about wanting it. And so then you fall into the same category, because now you're in your mind, you are serving mammon. Amen. Way back there in the first age, Brother Branham, this is finishing that quote, he says, James cried out to those who were putting stock in wealthy people. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons, he's quoting James, the poor that were trying to butter up the rich in order to get help rather than trusting in God. Don't do it, says James, don't do it. Money isn't everything. Money isn't the answer, and today it is not the answer either. We have more wealth than we have ever had, and yet less is being accomplished spiritually. It is not with money that God works. He moves by his spirit, and that moving of the spirit comes only to a consecrated life in the word. Amen. That's what I want. That's my desire. I want a moving of the spirit in my life. I want a life more consecrated to the word. I think this is the last part of the quote. I wanted this really powerful part here. He says, I want to give a warning right here. It says, concerning the last days, that because of abounding iniquity, the love of many will wax cold. In the Laodicean or last age of self-love and love for material things will take the place of the true love of God. We need to guard against the power of sin in these days. So many are getting so hard because they haven't realized, now notice this, they haven't realized the effect of this last day spirit. It is time to draw nigh to God and let him fill our lives with his love, or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. He's saying that we need to guard ourselves against the power of sin and realize just how strong the effect of that last day spirit is, and recognize that even as born again believers, amen, we can be influenced by that spirit because we live in this world, amen. So that is why a consecrated life to Christ is so important, amen. So that spirit, the right spirit, can influence us. Amen. We're supposed to get, Brother John, God in the spirit of the Lord. And then it was when those revelations came. When you get in the spirit of the Lord, everybody who's been a Christian longer than an hour knows that when you get in the presence of the Lord, that is where you want to stay. Amen. You want to stay in that place forever because you know that your troubles fall away. All the sin in your life and all of the sickness, everything, just, it doesn't matter because you're in the presence of God. Amen. But if you're constantly inundated with things and material and all of this, then you're never able to enter into that atmosphere. Just for background, I wanted to read Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In this last days, he said, it would cause people to have such a love for those things that it would take the place, Brother Branham said, it would take the place of the love of God for that in their hearts. And he's, Brother Branham is urgently, he's warning us, saying that there will be an effect. There is an effect. We're living in probably we are in the worst part of that. We're in the final moment. So the effect of that spirit is stronger now than it ever has been. And I believe now more than ever, if we don't keep our guard up, then we can be influenced by that spirit and allow it to cause serious handicap, spiritual handicap in our lives. You know, when you allow that stuff to happen, you become spiritually disabled to do the things that God wants us to do, to live in the spirit, to walk in the ways of the Lord. Amen. And there was another devotional that I was quoting earlier. This is the latter part of that. It said, most people are driven by discontent and unaware of that fact. But if we analyzed our motives, we would realize that they generally come from a focus on whatever is missing in our lives. The void we want to fill, the problems we want to fix, the glass that is half empty. And we rarely recognize the things that are going well in our lives or make strides to do so. No, we aim for the unfinished items on a never-ending to-do list of trying to make our lives complete. In the process, we keep our gifts and successes in the back of our minds and miss out on the gratitude and the satisfaction we could have. That struck me when I read it because it points out something that we all do sometimes without even fully realizing it. We have this in everybody's minds, we have this constant, this to-do list, and it's a never-ending to-do list to try to make your life complete. But your life is already complete in Christ, amen? And we're supposed to be living in a state of content, therefore, with whatever you have, amen? And that's just it. That whole point of never being content, it's the opposite of what Jesus taught us. The word, just have a few minutes here left. The word covetousness is basically encompassing that whole idea. Covetousness is having a perpetual desire for what we don't have, and what it leads to is discontentment, because it's causing a person to live in a constant dissatisfaction of what they currently have or what state that they're currently in. And I don't know about you, saints of God, but I don't want to live in that place. Amen. I want to stand, you know, up here knowing that, you know, I do stand up here knowing that I have been influenced by this. And I believe we all have, if we're honest with ourselves. But I don't want to stay in that place. And when I get into a place like that, because I think we live in a place where everywhere we look, we're inundated with that. Where everything is about what you have and where you're going in life. And you know, I had this patient come in, and he's toward the end of his life. He's in his 90s, and he was talking about how all the things that he has accomplished in his life. And he was a surgeon, and you know, he basically said that, you know, what you do in life, you know, working wise, basically is what caused him to be what he was. You know, if he didn't do that, then he would have nothing. And so his purpose was in that. It was in something that he did rather than in what Christ did. And I just thought how empty that is, how empty of a life that is. And it is important what you do. You're supposed to enjoy what you're doing. I'm glad, I'm thankful that I do enjoy what I do, but that isn't where my purpose lies. My purpose lies in Christ, amen? Now, I love how simple Brother Branham always makes things. The answer he gives is a scripture where he quotes James chapter 4. You know, it's time to draw nigh to God and let him fill us with his love. Amen. What's the answer, Caleb? What's the answer, Brother Caleb? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's a biblical promise. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. And the Amplified reads it like this. He says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his gain. This too is vanity. And Solomon writes that from a place of experience. Amen. He was a man who one of the wealthiest men in the world, had all the wisdom, you know, outside, Brother Branham said, outside of Christ was the wisest man ever to walk the earth in riches and in wisdom. And he came to the understanding that if you place your satisfaction in money or things or a people, you will never be satisfied. Amen. Amen. A few verses later in the same book, Ecclesiastes 5:19, if you want to bring it up. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. And I wanted to read that from the NLT as well, because I like the way that words it. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God, and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. So anything that you do possess, it truly is a gift from God. Amen. And having a content attitude is something that allows us to enjoy the benefits of what God has given us. Amen. And the Bible, you know, here says that those things can be a tremendous blessing, but what's your attitude towards it? Amen. Proverbs 15, just a few closing comments. Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Amen. Psalms 107, verses 8 through 9 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. That's the kind of satisfaction that I want in my life. Amen. My daughter got this really cool toy for my mom this Christmas. It plays little Bible songs and has little prayers on it and stuff. It's just this little thing you can carry around. And one of the prayers says, thank you, Lord, for not keeping tabs. And I'm just so glad that he doesn't keep tabs in our life. Amen. I've failed so many times in this category, and I believe if we're honest with ourselves, all of us have. But He doesn't keep tabs, and he doesn't write me off for those things. He doesn't tally your failures, amen. What he does is he sends conviction, amen, and to get us back on track, amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We love you, Lord. I just pray over the, Lord, the remainder of service. I pray that you could just, Father, fill this place with a spirit of worship. Father, we love you. And we just commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.